myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent I am bold toward you. But I beseech you that you may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1-6. Greetings, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives and the devotionals that I'm trying to put out on a weekly basis. You can sign up for the email list there and have those emailed to you every Sunday. At least that's the goal anyway. And like I said, that's where you also go to support this mission, making this possible. And I thank all of you very much for that. Today we're going to look at our gospel portion, which is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. And then we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts by reading chapter 14 in the book of Acts. So let's go ahead and begin with Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. Here's what it says. And it's John the Baptist talking here. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right, so we have the baptism of Jesus here, but I want to focus in on what John says about him. So John's baptizing people with water unto repentance. And, you know, there's that word. Yes, folks, repentance is a very key ingredient to all of this. And he tells him, he says, I'm baptizing with water, but there's somebody who's coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he points out that he is also the one who is going to judge this world. He says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. And this is a theme that's used often, is this picture of basically farming, agriculture. And so what the scriptures teaches over and over and over again is that the chaff is going to be gathered and bundled up and burned. And then the wheat, of course, is the good stuff that you gather into your barn. You can look at a cross-reference here If you look at Malachi chapter 4, very first verse, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saying the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." That day is coming, friends. Peter says that everything's going to burn. All the elements, all of it. So, interesting. Interesting. And like I said, there's plenty of verses, and we'll get to them at some point, that speak to this idea of the wheat being gathered into the barn and the chaff being gathered, the weeds being gathered to be burned. Just another way of, you know, you've got the sheep and the goats, you've got the wheat and the chaff. And so the question at the end of the day is quite simple. Which one are you? Do you know him? Do you know him? All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at Acts chapter 14. Interesting story here, as are all of it in the book of Acts. But you've got Paul doing some work, preaching the gospel. And once again, as is theme throughout the book of Acts, the Jewish people in the area get upset, get jealous, and stir up violence. And this time Paul is stoned nearly to death, to the point where they think he's dead and they drag him outside the city. So let's take a look. Chapter 14, King James Bible. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and spoke, that a great multitude of both Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil effect against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitudes of the city was divided, and the part held the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel." Again, I gotta point this out. A theme that's going to come up this morning is persecution. And one thing I've noticed when reading the scriptures, specifically in the New Testament, is that when there's persecution, the Christians flee to surrounding cities and preach the gospel. You see, this is what the enemy can't get through to its head. It's that when they persecute us, to the point where they're forcing us to flee, when the persecution gets so hot that it's forcing Christians to flee, it doesn't stop Christianity, it spreads it. Because you send the Christians out among the nations. And so what we have here is the unbelieving Jews stirring up the Gentiles and causing violence basically to take place, causing some of these people to flee, it says. It says they were aware of it. And they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto that region that lieth about, and there they preached the gospel. Moving forward, verse 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that Paul had done, When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." All right, so you have Paul. He sees this guy who's been lame in his legs since his mother's womb. He's never been able to walk, and he sees him, and he perceives that this man has great faith. He has the type of faith to be healed. First of all, I find that to be an interesting line. You know, you need to have, folks, part of the part of all this, when we're looking for deliverance, when we're looking for healing, when we're a lot of it, while it's done by God, and while it's done through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and through the name of Jesus, there's a component that requires our faith. And our faith, or lack of it, can determine the outcome. You know, when you have the woman who touches Jesus' garment, he says to her, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." And Paul sees this man, and it says, steadfastly holding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So he followed up with a loud voice, saying, "Stand up on your feet." And the guy leaped and walked. And of course, the people of Laconia, they think now that Paul and Barnabas must be gods, because nobody can literally heal a cripple. And so that's where we're at here. Verse 12, "And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein, who in the times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, Sacris restrained they the people, and they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." All right, so they convinced the people, "Hey, look, we're just men. We're just like you." And so they decide not to do their ritual. And then some certain Jews come along, and they stir up the people again, to the point where Paul is now stoned, to the point where they think he's dead. And it says they drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. So they drag his body out of the city, leave him for to be bird food. Verse 20. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So Paul, when he's done, when he recovers, they continue to preach the gospel. He doesn't let the fact that he was nearly stoned to death stop him from doing his mission in those areas, which was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but would be saved. And if you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God rose him up from the third day, you will be saved. That's the message. It's about faith. It's not about what you do or what you haven't done. It's about faith in Christ. And once you believe, once you truly believe and you come to that, and then you fall on your knees and you repent of your sins, And then increasingly so, God starts to make you more like Jesus. That's the good news. But he tells them, when he gets back to the other disciples, some of the people he's discipling, he's exhorting them and he's explaining to them, look, we enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. And that's a message that you won't hear preached in many churches today. You're not going to hear the message of repentance, but even less than that will you hear the message that all who want to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. You're not going to hear that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And that's Paul talking here. Paul also, in his letter to Timothy, what does he say? He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me key in on a word here, the word all. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you really live godly, when you're really living for Christ, you're gonna run into some problems from time to time. You're going to get spiritual opposition. There may be things happening in your life and it doesn't make sense. And it's like, why God is allowing this? You're suffering spiritual opposition, persecution from the enemy because of your faithfulness to God. And because of the threat that you pose in that faithfulness. Likewise, the world is going to hate you. Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. You are not greater than your master. They persecuted me, they will persecute you. That is what the Savior said. And look, I don't like it. I don't long to be persecuted. I don't long to have obstacles. I like to be comfortable just like the next person. But this is our reality. This is our reality if we're going to. This is why Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, count the cost. Count the cost. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 17 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if it's one of those words you're not going to hear it in your Sunday school. But here's the reality. Let me read this again and then I'll tell you what the if is. This is what the scriptures say, friends. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's amazing. This idea that we would be joint heirs with Jesus in the kingdom. Man, that's incredible. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The point I'm trying to make is that persecution and suffering is part of the Christian life. And we look around the world and we see great persecution that's not reported in the news. It's not reported in the news, but it's happening in a large scale. And we see a growing hostility towards Christianity and towards our faith here in the United States of America even. And I can see down the road where this is headed. And I have to be honest, I'm troubled. I'm troubled in my spirit when I look down the road and I see where this goes. But we must remain faithful in Christ. And wherever we go, we're called to preach the gospel. And that's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for many people. May God give us a heart and a spirit that wants to share this without fear. Let me finish the last few verses, 23-28. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Well, my friends, that is our Bible study for this morning, and I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it's blessed you and pierced your hearts and caused you to draw nearer and closer to God and to his son Jesus. That's the ultimate goal here. That's the ultimate goal. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. You know, I'm in spiritual warfare just like you guys, and so your prayers are so important, and it serves me well in my spirit knowing that you are praying for me. Thank you for your support financially. It means a lot. It's far more than I deserve for the privilege that it is to do this great work. Well, Lord willing, I'll be back with you again on Friday with our study in the Book of Jubilees. I know many of you are really, really enjoying that. And so my goal is to get that podcast out on Friday morning. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.